You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 14 August. We've got U.S. inflation at 2:30, expected 2.9% versus the 3% previously. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, KMLFA, the Santam trading update looked quite good. The stock set 5-year highs and almost at all-time highs, back to those 2018-19 levels. Attila Kadikoi, he from Leventine & Co., he's making an argument that what we want is a stable currency, not a strong currency. Zodwa Mbele from Development Bank of Southern Africa, results, profit falls 11%, but I think that's mostly currency moves. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. The clock is ticking for the Four Ways Mall. Co-owner Accelerate. Everything hinges on it turning the asset around. Business Day. Number of unemployed people rises to 8.4 million, which is a record high. Unemployment rate 33.5%. This despite a better electrical production during the period. Morning markets. US is green. S&P up 1.7%. Nasdaq 2.5% higher. Over in the east, it is all red. Sydney 0.1% down. Tokyo 0.2% down. Hong Kong 0.3% down. And Tencent just over 1.5% weaker. Commodities mostly red. Gold, $2,500. Brent, $80.99. Platinum, $940. Palladium, the green, $927. Rand is $18.14. Bitcoin, $61,100. And top 40 opening call, green open, 225 points or a third of a percent higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with KMLF independent analyst. Kia, appreciate the early morning time. The Suntime trading update. I mean, they didn't go into a heck load of details, but some good looking numbers. I mean, you know, Hepson to be, what, 25 to 45% higher. Share responded well. Trading just off all-time highs. Those highs made back in 2018, 2019, and earlier this year. Your take on the update, your take on the sector more broadly.
Morning, Simon. Yeah, the trading update presents a robust and encouraging picture of the company's performance. Like you mentioned, the company is expecting a substantial increase in both the headline earnings per share and earnings per share, which is projected to be up to 25 to 45% compared to the same period last year. And I think this kind of growth indicates that Santam has managed to significantly enhance its profitability. What's particularly noteworthy is the improvements in underwriting results. So the company has managed to keep its net underwriting margin within its long-term target range of 5% to 10% of net earned premiums. And this is despite dealing with significant weather-related catastrophes and large losses during the period. And I think this points to the company's effective risk management and operational resilience, which are crucial in the insurance business, you know. In addition to conventional insurance, Santam has also seen earnings growth in its alternative risk transfer businesses. This diversification is important as it provides the company with multiple streams of income, which can help cushion against downturns in any single segment. You know, it also reflects the company's ability to innovate and expand into areas that might offer higher returns or growth potential. The company's anticipated gross written premium growth is another positive signal. It shows that Santam is not only retaining its existing customer base, but also successfully attracting new businesses, you know, which is essential for long-term growth, you know. So I think the trading update reflects a company that is not only performing well in the face of challenges, but is also laying a strong foundation for future growth. Is there opportunity in the insurance sector? I think the insurance sector, particularly in South Africa, presents both challenges and opportunities right now. On one hand, we're seeing increased pressure from rising claims costs driven by factors like extreme weather events, which have been more frequent and severe. Santam's own trading update highlights this with the mention of significant weather-related catastrophes. And these events are not just isolated, you know, they're part of a broader global trend of increasing climate risks, which the insurance industry needs to adapt to. However, it also presents a substantial opportunity for insurers, companies that can effectively price risk and innovate in terms of the products that they offer, are well positioned to capitalize on these changes. For instance, there's growing demand for products that cover climate-related risks, cyber threats, and even pandemic-related insurance, you know, as businesses and individuals seek to protect themselves against an increasingly volatile environment. Looking at the broader economic context, as the South African economy gradually recovers from recent downturns, there could be a rebound in consumer spending, includes spending on insurance. The IMF recently projected that SA's GDP could see moderate growth in the coming years, which would support an increase in demand for insurance products. Additionally, from an investment perspective, the insurance sector has historically been a defensive play, often performing well in uncertain economic times, because insurance is seen as a necessity rather than a luxury. You know, so with the right risk management and strategic focus, companies, I think companies in this sector, like Santam, which already demonstrate resilience and strong operational performance, could be poised for sustained growth.
I take your point. I might cancel my DSTV, but I'm going to have a long, hard look before I think to cancel my insurance. Appreciate the time, Kim Olafi, as always, independent analyst. Thank you for the early morning.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. But what if you don't have to feel it? Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. So when you invest in StanLib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the ups and downs caused by market fluctuations. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Tiller Kadikoi, managing partner at Leventine and Co. Till, appreciate the time today. Everyone looks at our currency. It's a volatile currency, and it responds to both local and global events, political, economic, and the like. And trying to pick a fair value in South Africa on the rand is almost like an Olympic sport. You've made a point that what we really want as a country is a stable rand, and the level almost becomes less important. We just want that stability.
True. So, as you know, since the election, there has been definitely a more positive outlook on South Africa, which has translated to a relatively speaking stronger rand, and though the volatility continues in the currency. Now, having an optimistic outlook on the country, then ending up with a currency that suddenly, let's say, appreciates 10, 15, maybe 20% against hard currency is not necessarily good for the outlook of a country and the economy. And that's maybe something that, you know, is worth discussing, looking at a deeper context.
It absolutely is. You know, I'm thinking of an exporter, a gold miner, and, you know, I mean, any of the miners, commodities is a big part of our economy. I might personally like 15 to the dollar so I can go visit the US. But our miners, our exporters don't like that. And the flip side is the importers don't want 22 to the dollar.
Yeah, you just hit the nail on the head. There's two aspects of it. Firstly, let's just touch base on what you talked about is the absolute exchange rate. So what's important is you have to look at the value add of an economy. And if an economy is based on an income per capita of, let's say, $5,000 to $10,000, you can't expect that to double without the composition of the country's economy shifting. So without shifting to higher paying jobs, maybe from more into service industry or high value add manufacturing, you can't have income per capita increasing. You can maybe have more people in the job market, which is a positive thing, especially for South Africa. But you can't have that leak of economy because what happens, leak of income, because what happens then is the cost of products, manufacturing increases. Plus, like you said, exports become more expensive in the international market. The cost of manufacturing goes up. While on the flip side, of course, we're being very plain vanilla here, you start spending your money on cheaper imports. So the current account deficit in the country starts to widen. That is the first implication. Secondly, when you have a volatile, let's say your miner or your manufacturer, these people typically work with long-term contracts. Now, when you have a volatile currency, it's very difficult to pinpoint your price. Exchange rates are difficult to pinpoint and become more costly, like futures contracts. And also, the price of a rand goes up. And therefore, even a typical consumer with their mortgage will be impacted by the volatility of currency. So rather than focusing on a stronger rand, one needs to consider much less volatile rand compared to hard currency.
I take your point, absolutely. I mean, I know folks who are in the import business, and so they buy forward cover. It works, but it's a cost. And of course, forward cover is only for a limited amount of that forwardness. I mean, how do we get to a stable rand? I mean, is it, you mentioned politics up front. We've got the government of national unity or coalition government, whatever it is. We've got a bunch of parties in power now. Is that a, I would imagine, a good first step? There's some things we can't control, but there's some things we can.
You summed it up very well. And yes, the government of national unity is definitely the first step. So having consistent feedback from the government, input from the government is very important. Increase of FDI into the country, but not as, let's say, one would say, hot money into the bond market, but actually a direct foreign investment coming into the country. So these are the kind of, like you said, the things you can control. Of course, internationally, there's certain aspects you can't control. But from a domestic perspective, the longer term people can have an outlook on something, the more confident and they are on either investing or taking that position. If I know within parameters that the rand is going to be, let's say, 17 to 17.5% against the dollar for the foreseeable future, argument's sake, then as maybe a US manufacturing company, I am interested in building my African manufacturing hub in South Africa, for example, because I know that, okay, you know, my dollar income is not going to shift too much. It's a strong currency, and therefore it has a huge impact on the country. And it starts, like you said, with politics.
And I like your point around hot money, because we all watch, and in the note that you wrote recently, you spoke around inflows into our market. Most notably, we're seeing it into the bond market. We expect equity markets to follow, and we get all excited about that. But of course, that money can turn on a dime and leave, and it has been leaving for the last many years. It's that building of infrastructure, of buildings, of manufacturing plants, which is, you know, it's here for long term.
Yeah, that's the sticky money. That's here for the long term. And that's real investment into the country. The bonds are for, I won't say opportunistic, but it's just like for all of our investments, people prefer them at the moment because of the liquidity in the market.
Yeah. And as soon as it turns, they will find somewhere else, the next hotspot, and abandon us in a minute.
Well, one thing also about South Africa is the central bank policy. To be honest, as someone who's covered emerging markets for over 20 years, it's really in question the independence of a central bank and central bank policy, for example, through the Fed rate hike at the moment, but we've seen in the last year and a half, et cetera, compared to other emerging markets. South Africa hasn't got, it's been one of the preferred markets, let me say, for investors investing in local currency. So I would say that is another thing that South Africa has done comparatively well with other, let's say, markets deemed in the same basket.
Yeah, a great point, absolutely. And of course, the big one in the room, which hopefully we resolve next year, is the grey listing. We need to get off that as well. I suppose we are slowly ticking some boxes. Tila Kedikoe, Managing Partner, Leventhal & Co., really appreciate the time today. That's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Interesting theory. And you always think, strong rand, but truthfully, stable. Makes sense. Just have a rand. I mean, pick a level, whatever level. Cheap is better, maybe. And can it stay there? Have your vote. Have your say. Do you prefer stable or stronger rands? LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money knows it's not just about the money. It's about your returns, returning the favor, and empowering people. Your money can do more to change the narrative. Beyond delivering consistent returns, investing in the Stanlib Kanyisa Impact Investment Fund can help eradicate poverty and protect the environment. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Zodwa Mbele, CFO Development Bank of Southern Africa. Zodwa, I appreciate the time today. Results out for your financial year. A net profit of 4.6 billion, that's to the year end March. It's down from the previous year, but that to me, digging through the numbers, really is more than anything else. It's about currency gains that you had in the previous year, because of course a lot of your loans are in dollar and euro.
Indeed, that is the case. So we're still recording really solid performance. Our book is still very robust, so it's nothing alarming with respect to the seemingly a dip in our numbers, because that is a function of the fluctuation in the currency. The rand appreciated a bit compared to the previous year. So, I mean, just to give you the exact number, there was about a foreign exchange movement of about 100 and gain, that is, of 228 million versus the 800 million in the previous financial year. There was also about 400 million revaluation loss, which is unrealized as we do the mark-to-mark with the financial instrument on the equity book of the bank. So the 400 million loss is also sitting in that number as well. So, but there's nothing really to worry about. You've seen our cash collection is very solid. You've seen the quality of our book is equally solid in terms of the expected credit losses, you know, what we call the impairment. We've had a record collection of about 23 billion in terms of collecting from our clients. And it's important that with this collection, I also mentioned specifically the municipalities, which is, we know how critical and crucial for the economic drive of this country, but equally important to contribute towards the quality of life of the people of South Africa. And I'm pleased to say that we've also had good collection with the municipal sector, which contributed 30% of the 23 billion that we have collected in that cash collection from the DBSA, which is a record collection.
That is a big number. And of course, it's Development Bank of Southern Africa. It's not just South Africa. It's broadly SADC. How much of your loan book is beyond our borders?
So about, well, we have a ratio that we're supposed to stick to, which is a 60-40 ratio. Currently, the book is about 65% in South Africa, and outside SA, it's about, 35% of that number. So, yeah, we do quite a lot in South Africa, obviously, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, 100%. And you mentioned municipalities, you mentioned quality of life.
It's 71%, actually.
Sorry, 71-29.
Yes.
Got that.
Yes.
You mentioned the municipalities. And of course, I mean, part of the mandate is broadly stimulating economic development. A lot of that is infrastructure. Is that fair to say that a lot of your focus these days is on infrastructure? And it might be smaller at municipality, it might be larger, but that's a lot of the focus.
Of course, municipalities deliver the services. Mm-hmm. The service delivery of the municipalities through building infrastructure, the water and sanitation infrastructure that supports us on our day-to-day basis, you know, contributing to the quality of life. So this is why DBSA has always been focusing on municipalities, because they are a delivery engine when it comes to infrastructure, be it the roads that connect internally. We haven't changed anything with respect to the municipalities, but at any given time, we always have to take stock and see whether we are still making any impact in the municipalities, or we need to pivot a little bit in terms of our strategies on how we can be more impactful, you know, assisting them to deliver more. So that's really the tactics that we keep on really looking at now and again in terms of our strategies. As we speak right now, we continue to say that I think we need more of an integrated approach to the municipalities, where we're not only focusing on the financing of the infrastructure, but also looking at the capacity building within the municipal sector. Not only capacity building in putting the infrastructure in place, that is another angle, but also bring in potential projects that have got that ability to be banked by the market. So through planning and feasibility studies that will help the munis to unlock grant funding from the fiscals, which you can also, you know, front load in terms of financing it ahead of the munis receiving the grants that would have assisted them to unlock. So there's various approaches that we try to look into the munis sector. In some cases, I mean, where possible, on a standalone basis, we also think that munis can also do off-balance sheet structures rather than to borrow on the back of their balance sheet. If they see that there's a potential project that can stand alone from the cash flow basis, you know, and then we can back it as a project finance, Those are the kind of structures that we really encourage municipalities to also look into rather than to look at their own balance sheet strength in order to borrow. So there's quite a lot that we do in the municipal space as a bank.
And I take your point. It's obviously the financing is an important component, but actually the Development Bank Southern Africa is more than just financing. It is around helping with skills and development within, for example, municipalities and giving them the ability and upskilling.
Yeah, no, true. I mean, and even in our broader mandate, per the Act of the Bank, it does mm-hmm. specifically talk to capacity building specifically. So it does refer to the economic development, but in addition to that, it specifies the capacity building. So this is why we forever look for those opportunities where we capacitate, whether it is the municipality or any sponsors who need, let's say, the last milestone in putting a project to bankability.
Yeah.
We keen all forever in doing that so that we turn it around and it becomes bankable, not only for the bank, it becomes bankable for the entire South African financial market where possible so that we can compete and create more pipeline for bankable projects. So we do have the risk appetite, you know, by doubling down in the mm-hmm. risk curve of for the development of infrastructure.
100%. We'll leave it there. Sodwa Mabele, CFO, Development Bank, Southern Africa. Appreciate the time.
That's it for today. We were chatting with Ernest North yesterday from Naked Insurance, talking around vehicle excesses. And he was making the point that excess should be about 2-3% of the value of the car. And if you increase the excess, well, you can reduce premiums, but make sure you can manage that excess. You asked if you had increased your excess to reduce the premiums. Almost half said happy as it is. The rest was split between, yep, worked great, and the others saying you need to investigate. Have your say, have your vote, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, and Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Generational Wealth Transfer.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.